A thing that looks like a police box standing in a junkyard. It can move anywhere.
Haven, concentrate on Sin. Give priority to the detectors and the navigation systems.
There is a corridor. And the corridor is time. It surrounds all things.
On display, I eventually had to go down to the cellar.
That's the display department.
With a torch. The lights are probably gone. So had the stairs.
You are just number 6.
I am not a number. I am a person.
Welcome to British Invaders, episode 216. This is the podcast all about British science fiction television, and this time we are talking about Dick Spanner PI. This is Brian from Canada.
And this is Eamon from England. Hello. Yes, Dick Spanner PI from 1986, a stop-motion animation series from famous producer Gerry Anderson. Unusual because it's, as far as we're aware, his only stop motion series. And we're looking at 22 6-minute episodes, which were originally broadcast in that format on Channel 4 in 86. But as we'll talk about in a while, there were there's other formats to look at as well. And it's a strange one, Brian.
It is, but if you remember the style from children's television where you would have a short 5 or 6 minute episode of something that would go between programs, and often that would happen on Channel 4 as in the UK or on Saturday morning television in the US and Canada, this fit into that type of format. And it featured the humorous adventures of a robotic private investigator with lots and lots of wordplay jokes and visual jokes thrown in along the way, and a strange sort of science fiction, futuristic slash alternate reality version of the film noir detective genre. So it had lots of things to riff on, and it made for a fun, oddball little show.
Okay, oddball being one of the key words, but let's get going with the setup. So, Dick Spanner himself is a Chandler-esque private detective who is hired to investigate two bizarre cases. They start with the sort of trailer in a Star Wars fashion that not so long ago in a parallel universe not too far from here. And Spanner walks, or rather wheels, the mean streets of a city known as the Big Pear. That's P-E-A-R, but it's also, I think, punned, spelt P-A-I-R. And you can see straight away we've got sort of references to New York. We've got visual jokes about an image of a lady that accompanies the phrase whenever he says it. So we're off and running with some strange wordplay and strange jokes right from the start, Brian.
Yes, absolutely. And the Big Pear parodying the Big Apple for New York is only the very beginning of what they do in those types of references and puns. There are really a lot of them. They sort of come thick and fast. The characters that he encounters often resemble well-known film stars or characters from a sort of 1940s era, and you know, you have lots of kind of parodies and references there. And Dick Spanner himself is constantly moving from one dangerous situation into another, and sort of getting into trouble just as quickly as he's getting out of it, while of course he's solving these cases.
Yes, he leads with his chin, and he has a large, impressive metal robotic chin to lead with. And yes, as you say, Brian, he seems to, almost in Philip Marlowe fashion, solve cases mainly by getting into trouble and then getting himself out of it. So we should talk, as we normally do, about the characters of the show. And really, it's only the title character who gets a definitive voice. So just Dick Spanner PI himself, who, as I've said, he's a robot. He moves along on two wheels. They're usually concealed by his long trench coat in classic private eye fashion. And, of course, he also has the classic fedora hat atop of his robot head. And I suppose the wheels and the coat, as ever, got round the one of the big issues for Gerry Anderson, which was moving characters around on screen. So Dick Spanner glides around in a slightly jerky stop-motion fashion.
And he also narrates the story in a sort of Philip Marlowe style. And he was voiced by Shane Rimmer, who is the Canadian actor we remember well from Thunderbirds and other Gerry Anderson productions and a large number of things that he did in the UK offering North American accents. And here he is doing a light New York style accent, definitely a character voice, but he's not overdoing it. And I think doing very well with this. You could almost see Dick Spanner PI as being a monologue by Shane Rimmer in character with other bits and pieces added to it, with the animation added to it, and the other sound effects and character voices and things added to it to flesh things out. But the heart of it is Shane Rimmer's narration.
Yes, and I'm not sure. I presume members of the production team are doing the various mumblings and sort of incoherent noises and sounds we hear in the background from minor characters. We don't really get a lot of clear speech from anybody else apart from Shane Rimmer.
Yes, there are some other voices in there, but we don't get much in the way of, or we rarely get much in the way of dialogue from them. It's mostly these sort of little background bits of speech and that sort of thing, fitting in with the sort of sound effects and things in this strange animated world.
Okay, so in this episode, we're going to be looking at his first case, the case of the human cannonball. And again, in classic private eye fashion, he comes back to his office to find that there's a mysterious woman in the office, a classic femme fatale, who he describes in the usual sort of hyperbolic fashion. She's waiting for him in his office, and she wants Dick Spanner to investigate a big case. And we have a literal big suitcase on screen to go along with that joke. But she also wants him to find her missing partner, Harry the Human Cannonball from the circus, who has, you probably guessed it already, been fired and has since disappeared. So this is the first case, and we're off, as we say, in private eye fashion.
We certainly are. And before long, Spanner has been framed for the murder and has to make a fast exit, jumping out the window of a police station in, as he always calls it, another dumb move, giving us the first of one of many times we see Dick Spanner falling from a great height and having to make his way and get out of that situation. Also, the first time he is going through his pockets looking for the Zippo miniature parachute, and he is always looking for something in his pockets and always finds the wrong thing.
Yes, there's a little play there, I think, on the sort of classic Warner Brother cartoons where it was always Acme, I think, who made the weird products. And for Dick Spanner, it's Zippo. And as you say, Brian, he produces a variety of amusing objects from his pockets, but never that miniature parachute that he really needs.
Yes, whatever he needs, that's never what he finds. And there is perhaps a Doctor Who reference in there with the many things in the pockets. I'm not not entirely convinced, but maybe something there.
Okay.
It was midnight. The streets were empty. It had been raining cats and dogs. Now it was just raining. The big pair was sleeping. Quiet. It was the kind of night I just knew nothing was going to happen. It was time to hit the sack.
So the production of Dick Spanner PI, as we've said, it's that very famous presence on our British television screens over the years, a Gerry Anderson production. And this was the 1980s, and he'd formed a new production company. So I presume this was after AP Films and Century 21. This was Anderson Burr Pictures Limited, with Christopher Burr being the other partner. Dick Spanner PI was produced for Virgin Media and Channel 4 Television. It was created, written and directed by Terry Adlam, who'd previously been part of the special effects team on Anderson's Terrorhawk show. Although, interestingly, Terry Adlam himself as writer is listed on the end credits of the show as Harry Bolt. Again, I think another little pun, a little robotic one. And so he always shows up under that name, not as his actual Terry Adlam.
And this was, as we've referenced already, the only stop-motion animation series that Anderson produced. It has a sort of look of a mixture of claymation with stop-motion done with other types of material, bits of metal and bits of different pieces of things that are used for characters, wheels from something, and so on. In Anderson's own words, it was a very low production show and used this sort of mix of different materials and gives us that sort of slightly jerky motion that you get in some stop motion shows that are done in that are done at a relatively low budget.
Okay. One of the other features that we noticed is that occasionally we get a close up of Dick Spanner's hand when he needs to be doing something with one of the objects he pulls from his pocket, or a gun or something like that. And occasionally, in typical Gerry Anderson fashion, we get a shot of an actual human hand wearing a silver rubber glove to do the intricate close-up stuff that perhaps they couldn't get the claymation to do. Or maybe it's just a nod to all his other famous human hands in his super marionation shows.
Yes, that's right. It was sort of neat to see that showing up there.
Yes, it does. It gives us a Gerry Anderson smile whenever we see a human hand actually in these shows. As we've said, along the way, we've got the sets and backdrops, which are just littered with sight gags, puns, references to films and television. This show, in its 6 minutes episodes, it really packs in these gags. They just come thick and fast, Brian. And if you don't like one joke, you can be sure that there'll be another three along in a few seconds. So there's probably something for everyone.
That's right. It's really full of references, and especially of puns and sight gags and things. And those were really quite fun. The music was composed by Christopher Burr himself, mostly using a simple theme that gets repeated, and sort of little bits of things that fit into the opening and closing sequence, and also sort of in behind Shane Rimmer's narration. Dick Spanner PI was broadcast in those 6 minute segments, 6 minute episodes, on the Channel 4 Saturday morning children's show Network 7. So it fit in a little slot that way. And it was broadcast in 1986 and 1987.
And we know it was also repeated at a later date in a late night slot, where I guess the older audience may have been more appreciative or picked up on more of the film and TV references, and in particular the references to sort of classic film noir, to the classic private detective type movies, than the young audience for Saturday morning TV on Channel 4. I don't know exactly when it went out in these late night slots, but that must have been, I suppose, a different audience for it.
Yes, it's interesting, because they were thinking of it as a children's show, but at the same time, also thinking of potential for being a more sort of adult, I guess, cult-style show to go into these sort of late night slots and to play off the references that are so prevalent in there.
Okay, so availability of this show, Dick Spanner PI, it's had a sort of slightly odd release history on media. So we know there were two VHS cassettes in the 1980s with the two cases edited into a 45-minute continuous format. Later on, there was a single VHS cassette of the same. Those VHS show actual cassettes, of course, have long since been deleted, and they're rather difficult to get hold of these days if you still have the capacity to play them, that is. But inevitably, there was a DVD release. And again, it's a bit strange and controversial. This was in 2007. It featured another edit down to the 45 minutes or thereabouts. But apparently this time they managed to remove some of the jokes, and they also cropped the ratio to 16:9, which apparently managed to cut out some of the background signs and graffiti, which also included a number of jokes. The DVD itself featured a long interview with Gerry Anderson about Dick Spanner and some of his other shows, and also featured him talking about some of the items in his own memorabilia collection, which is quite interesting. I gather there was a strange pop music video of the theme tune, which I have no idea about, other than that most people seemed unhappy with its presence on the DVD. And interestingly, if you read the reviews of this DVD on Amazon, you'll find, as I say, that it was rather controversial, partly by the cropping and the removing of some of the jokes, partly that the quality of the transfer seemed to be very poor indeed, and that Gerry Anderson had also decided to replace Christopher Burr's original music with a new jazz soundtrack, which was composed by Evan Jolly and played by the National Youth Jazz Orchestra over here. Not heard it. It's not a particularly popular substitution, but it was obviously something Gerry Anderson was very keen on. So all in all, a bit of a strange DVD, which has also since been deleted and now goes for around £40 to £50 on the marketplaces, but not entirely sure if it's one you should be chasing anyway, Brian.
Yes, it was an attempt to update Dick Spanner PI to be something new and different, and by pretty well all accounts I've heard, it was not a successful update, and people much preferred what originally went out and even what was released on VHS. Now, there hasn't been any releases on VHS or DVD in North America, but the interesting part of it, and this is the key part of the availability, there is an official release of Dick Spanner PI on YouTube. The internet distribution rights were acquired by a company called One Media, and they have placed it on YouTube. There are links from the Gerry Anderson official site to that release. And this is the copy that that you should be watching at this point. It has the original episodes in the original 6-minute format. The video quality is good, and it actually doesn't have any advertising on it. It's just a good, clean copy of the original episodes available for free. It's not region locked, so anyone who has access to YouTube can take a look at it with that. The user is Dick Spanner, and it has all 22 episodes with a playlist for the 11 episodes of the first case, and that second adventure we'll talk about next time is available with a playlist for that too, or you can choose individual episodes and look at them one at a time. So it is all made available very nicely for free on YouTube.
Excellent. Nice to have it free. Nice to have it up there on YouTube and be one that we can actually watch without any qualms. And we'll put the links to the Dick Spanner user channel up on our Facebook group and on the webpage when these episodes go up. And I'll also post links to that Gerry Anderson interview, which was featured on the 2007 DVD, which I'm glad to say is also on YouTube. It's in two parts of about 25 minutes each, and it's well worth a watch. So I'll put those links up as these shows go out.
Very good. So some nice stuff available online in this case.
So next time, we're going to be coming back and looking at the second case for Dick Spanner PI. We'll pause and look at Anderson's career in the 1980s and see where this one fits in. And of course, we've got to get to our reviews and recommendations as to whether you should find the time to watch this show. So some stuff to get into when we get back.
Absolutely. Plenty more to talk about. You can find us at BritishInvaders.com, or you can find our Facebook group if you search for British Invaders on Facebook. We have lots of good discussion happening there.
Indeed we do. And you'll also find us at the Voice of Geeks Network, which is VogNetwork.com, a network of geek-related shows going out in the format of internet streaming radio. British Invaders has a Monday and a Tuesday night slot. There's a community there. We're proud to be part of VogNetwork.com. Interesting stuff going on there as well, Brian.
Yes, absolutely. So thank you for listening. And this is Brian from Canada signing off.
Yes, thank you very much indeed. Until next time, it's Eamon in England also signing off.